So like the definition of weapons of mass destruction, the definition of terrorism and terrorist is being challenged, extended, twisted, call it what you will, in this Boston case. And in a few other recent cases, one as recently as this past weekend that we're going to explore, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev is being called a terrorist by the White House and yet has no known official affiliation with a terrorist organization. It is unclear if there was any coherent ideological motive, and aside from working with his brother Tamerlan, was apparently working alone. We shall see what other evidence comes out at trial. Does the word terrorist help us to understand what happened in Boston? Or again, does it mostly assist federal prosecutors in court? Take this case. Abdellah Ahmed Tunisi, an 18-year-old man from Aurora, Illinois, was arrested over the weekend as he attempted to board a plane to the Middle East. Federal officials say he was on his way to help an al-Qaeda-linked group fight in Syria. Tunisi is being accused of attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization. Yet the U.S. claims it supports the Syrian opposition in the bloody war against Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. Then there's the older case of Eric Haroun, a 30-year-old white Christian man from Phoenix, Arizona, recently returned from fighting with the rebel forces in Syria. The federal government believes Haroun conspired to use a weapon of mass destruction while fighting against Bashar al-Assad. He, too, is being charged for fighting alongside a designated terrorist group. With us to try to understand what's going on here is Spencer Ackerman, who writes for Wired Magazine's national security blog, Danger Room. Spencer, welcome back.
Hi, John.
So in the 1980s, if you went over to fight with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, you were a freedom fighter, even though you might have been elbow to elbow with members of people who we now understand are al-Qaeda. Today, if you go to Syria, you could be committing a felony. What's going on here?
So this is even more complicated by the fact that nominally the U.S. policy is to overthrow Bashar Assad. It's a really weird case whereby a U.S. Army veteran named Eric Haroun decides on his own that he is going to join the armed opposition in Syria. He does so. It's kind of a wild story and a very public one. He puts himself on YouTube and on Facebook traveling with the Nusra Front, which in December the U.S. State Department declared as a terrorist organization. And he shows himself with a band of fighters, presumably Nusra fighters, who fire off a surface-to-air missile and shoot down a Syrian military aircraft. And because of that, when Haroun found himself back in Turkey, he was arrested and is now charged with using a weapon of mass destruction, and he's in pretty serious trouble.
Now, do you see the definition both of weapon of mass destruction and terrorist being stretched here, or is this an absolutely appropriate use of prosecutorial tools to get somebody who seems to be pretty dangerous, if you look at his online paper trail?
It shows how these definitions are pretty fungible, depending on the direct interest of those who use them. A missile is not, in any colloquial sense, a weapon of mass destruction. I have a real big beef with that term in general, not just as a legal term of art, but as a military term, because it just encompasses so much. Chemical weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons, radiological weapons are all sort of conventionally, colloquially called weapons of mass destruction. And those things do very, very different things and present very different and greater or lesser degrees of a threat, to the point where the public just hears something scary. A missile, a homemade bomb, a mine, all of these things, as your previous guest told you, can fall into the legal category of weapons of mass destruction, and that stretches the definition even further.
Is this a thought crime kind of thing where the government wants to impugn motives of using weapons of mass destruction or being a terrorist just by virtue of the fact that you show up in a particular scene? Or is there a real national security argument here to enlarge, and many have said the war on terror is everywhere and will always be everywhere, and that the government has many incentives to perpetuate it?
Well, you might not be able to really call it a thought crime because, as your previous guest also pointed out, and as you yourself pointed out, we don't know the motivations of these people here. In particular, we don't know the motivation of the suspect in the Boston bombings, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. These are actions that are being prosecuted because they're actually actions, not just things people thought, but what they did. But the definitions that are used for them are just extremely fungible and changing. Terrorism really does depend on motivation to distinguish it from a more typical crime, no matter how destructive. There has to be a political motivation. It's a very, very strange thing to now throw around, particularly when you are talking about people who are at least aligned with a policy objective of the United States, which is to get rid of Bashar Assad. It does have to do, in the Nusra Front's case, with what's believed to be the very austere religious motivations and religious extremism of Nusra. I won't play fake Syria expert, but the other week, Al-Qaeda in Iraq declared that it had aligned itself formally with the Nusra Front, and that is a difficult distinction that the administration is trying to grapple with, how nominally in this case its interests might be aligned with the affiliate of Al-Qaeda in the region.
And indeed, that was exactly the same situation in Afghanistan, where the U.S. government had difficulty sorting out who was who in the Mujahideen. It's similarly having a difficult situation in Syria, and it means that the U.S. is really not going to be able to sort out who's a freedom fighter and who's a terrorist in Syria.
It's a really complicated situation, and there's really nothing that help sort it out simply by using the weapons of mass destruction term. One of the things that really does seem to lag behind the facts in all of these cases is a rigorous definition of what terrorism is. And 12 years after the 9/11 attacks, while this has completely seized our national politics and our foreign policy, we're no closer to having a more precise definition.
Spencer Ackerman writes for Wired Magazine's national security blog, Danger Room. Thanks so much, Spencer.
Thank you.
So let's further explore this question of material support for a terrorist organization on the one hand versus acting in sympathy with people fighting a violent dictator on the other hand. In the first case, you can be prosecuted as a nefarious criminal. In the second case, you might be a heroic freedom fighter. We want to welcome back to the program Matthew Van Dyke, who is a documentary filmmaker who traveled abroad to fight with Libyan rebels attempting to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. He's since been traveling to Syria to document the unrest in that country. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to what Spencer Ackerman was talking about there, and you've heard me sort of suggest the issue. What category are you in? And let's think about your Libyan experience, if we could. Are you a freedom fighter, or might you possibly have rubbed elbows with the people who the U.S. government considers to be terrorists?
Well, I like to think of myself as a freedom fighter.
Of course
you
do.
I suppose that the Gaddafi regime and the Syrian regime would call me a terrorist. The Syrian regime has called me a terrorist. They broadcast it on their state TV channels. But it was news to me that I'd used the WMD in Libya, because I did use a RPG in combat in Libya, just as Eric Karoun did. And it's on video and people have seen it, but I haven't been charged.
Well, what do you think about this idea of if you put down your camera and pick up a weapon in Syria, you could be associated with some of the Salafist Islamist organizations in Syria that the U.S. considers to be terrorist organizations, even though they're part of the opposition that the U.S. says it supports?
Well, you have to be very careful whom you choose to fight with. I mean, what Eric Karoun did was fight with a group that has been designated a terrorist organization. When I was in Libya, I was part of the rebel army, which was recognized. I was issued an ID card. It was a legitimate fighting force. If I was in Syria and I joined the FSA, which is different than Jabhat al-Nusra, different than the Nusra Front, if I were to join the FSA and fight, I don't anticipate being charged. The problem was who he was with.
But do you have any sort of advance assurance of that? I mean, can you call the State Department or the Defense Department and say, hi, I'm going to Syria. I'm going to hang out with the FSA. I'm probably not going to hang out with the al-Nusras. You got any guidance for me here?
I haven't. I don't think they give me anything other than a blanket statement that they don't advise Americans to travel to Syria.
No, and they might actually arrest you. Listen to this statement by Secretary of State John Kerry.
The Assad regime has rained down rockets on Aleppo in recent days, and that is just the latest example of Assad's brutality. We condemn this indiscriminate killing of innocent civilians, and we condemn it in the strongest terms.
Now, Matthew Van Dyke, do you hear Secretary of State John Kerry saying that as a call to assist the people of Syria, possibly even taking up arms in addition to what you're doing with your camera?
No, I don't interpret that as a call for me to do anything. I do things based on my own initiative and my own beliefs. What I did not hear him saying is that the rockets raining down on Syrian people are WMD.
And what does that say to you?
The term's very selectively applied for legal reasons, it appears, and perhaps political reasons.
So you view the U.S. government as being hypocritical about its definitions of WMDs, and does that complicate your concern of being vulnerable if you go over to Syria, independent of what might go on there?
I really honestly don't have any concerns personally. I'm very careful about who I associate with. I would not be with the Nusra Front. I wouldn't make that mistake. It does bother me. The loose and changing definition of WMD, it weakens the term. This is a term that we went to war with over in Iraq. And, you know, if you're going to say that a man went over and fired a RPG and that's WMD, but you have a regime that fires Scud missiles at its own people, and you don't apply the same term because it would make you look bad for not acting against the Syrian government, the term loses all meaning.
All right. Of course, you're impugning the motives of what the U.S. might be saying there, but it sounds reasonable to me. But again, we don't know precisely why they're avoiding that nomenclature in describing the Syrian dictator's actions in using Scud missiles on his own people. You know, Matthew, you say you're really careful about not associating with people who the U.S. might consider to be terrorists, but you did find yourself in Libya, detained. You were captured at one point.
Right. I was captured by the Gaddafi regime and spent nearly 6 months in prison. But to the Gaddafi government, I was a terrorist. And to the Syrian government, they've already called me a terrorist. I mean, it depends who's a terrorist and who's a freedom fighter and what's WMD and what's not WMD. It depends on who's saying it and who they're saying it about.
Any thoughts on the charges against Dzhokhar Tsarnaev in Boston and how that relates to all this?
Massachusetts doesn't have a death penalty, and they want to have a death penalty case, so they use a WMD charge. Really, it's probably more appropriate to charge him with other things, but I'm no legal expert.
Right, but you can sense that the same definitions that are at work up there in Boston could conceivably be used against you if you find yourself in the wrong place in Syria. When do you go back?
Well, I certainly won't be ever using a bomb to kill civilians, and that's quite a big distinction. And when I fought in Libya, and if I fight in Syria, it'll only be against Assad regime military targets.
Matthew Van Dyke, a foreign fighter, documentary filmmaker who has experience in Libya and also in Syria. Matthew, thanks so much for your candor.
Thank you for having me again.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.